Now George steals a pass and heads for the other end, where he throws down the right hand. Indiana is dominating a 14-point run.
It's time for Pacers Weekly.
Pacers Weekly here on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. We start to hit mid-March. Basketball starts to mean more everywhere. The Pacers starting to hit their stretch run of scheduling. Of course, college basketball, finding out which teams will make the tournament. And Friday, the basketball gods, not kind to the state of Indiana. IU, Purdue, Ball State all going down. And the Pacers falling in Milwaukee last night to the Bucks. Kind of an odd game. The Pacers came out of the gates red hot, led 10 to nothing just a couple of minutes in, and led by double digits a couple different times in that first half. Milwaukee, I thought, did a nice job to close that first half gap to 5 and turn what was a 10-11 point advantage into something more palatable heading into the break. And coming out of it, the Pacers struggled to score. 18 points in the third quarter, 17 points in the fourth. The Pacers, after putting up 50 in the first half, were only able to put up 35 in the second half. And they fell to Milwaukee 99-85. We'll get a couple of people's take on this going forward. We'll be joined, of course, by our usual cast and crew. It sort of seems to me like what the Pacers are to the Pistons is what the Bucks are to the Pacers. The Pacers dominating the Pistons in four games this season, winning all four, a sweep of the Pistons. On the other hand, the Bucks have now handled the Pacers in the three games that those two teams have played. One more coming for them later in the year between the Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks. But so far, that advantage has gone Milwaukee's way. So the Pacers 1-1 in their last two games since that five-game road stretch ended. The good news for the Pacers is they're done with extended road trips. The road has been a difficulty this season. Indiana's 11-22 away from home, and they have no more extended stretches away from Bankers Life Fieldhouse. The Pacers are 33-32 on the season. That means there's 17 games left to be played, and of those 17, there will be 9 at home and 8 on the road. The Pacers, conversely, of course, are one of the best home teams in the NBA at 22-10, one of the best home records in the league. So that's very good news for Indiana going down the stretch here. Their schedule is about even as it relates to difficulty of schedule versus the rest of the league. It's about a 500 schedule the rest of the way, so that means the Pacers are going to have some opponents coming up that are really difficult. They've still got to face some of the top teams in the league. Cleveland, for example, still on the schedule coming up. Toronto's still on the schedule three times, actually. The Pacers haven't played the Raptors. They've got three more coming up against them. Atlanta's still on the schedule. Utah and Boston still on the schedule. But also teams coming up like the Knicks, Philadelphia, they still have twice. And so Denver's on the schedule too. So the schedule evens out the rest of the way. About 500 is their opponent's record as the Pacers hit this home stretch. At least as it relates to making the playoffs, the Pacers still in a good position. Right now they sit in sixth. They are three games behind Atlanta, who won last night. They're in fifth. Reasonably, though, sixth isn't a bad spot to be. It puts you at away from the LeBron James side of the bracket. If Indiana stays there, it would right now put you in a home first-round series against Boston, but Washington and Boston are currently tied right now for second and third, so it would be likely playing one of those two teams, although Toronto's still in the mix. So sixth spot, in my opinion, not a bad place for Indiana to be if they can end up there. They're one game ahead of Detroit, who's in seventh. They're a game and a half ahead of Milwaukee now, who is in eighth position. The two teams first on the outside looking in are Chicago and Miami. Chicago has dropped four in a row. They're out if the playoffs started today. Miami has won three in a row. Miami's won 17 out of 20. That's who the Pacers play on Sunday. They are surging toward the playoff picture. They were just 11-30 at one point, but Miami is in contention, and a major game is coming up against the Heat on Sunday. It's at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. You can be there, although tickets are scarce. So Pacers.com/tickets if you would like to be there. There's only a few tickets remaining. I suggest acting now on that one. Partly it's selling so well because it's 2000s decade night, where we will honor some of the 2000s Pacers teams, the early 2000s, which started with Jermaine O'Neal and company. It ended with Danny Granger. Danny Granger is the bobblehead. If you go to this game, you will see Jermaine O'Neal, Jeff Foster, Austin Crozier, Eddie Gill, Al Harrington all in attendance. Danny Granger was scheduled to come. However, good for Danny. He's been hired by CBS Sports to help cover March Madness. And so, unfortunately, Danny can't make it. However, he will have a video posted directed toward the fans as to a message from Danny Granger. So if you are at that game, if you've been to any of the Decades games, these are really cool events to celebrate some of the Pacers' history. Of course, we are in our 50th season right now of Pacers basketball. And it's the 2000s decade that'll be honored on Sunday, and it's a really important game. The Miami Heat trying to move in, the Pacers trying to keep these teams behind them at an arm's length. The Pacers one game over 500 and in sixth position as we speak this morning. You can be a part of the conversation here on Pacers Weekly. 317-239-1070 is the number to call in and chat Pacers basketball with us. Or we are available via Twitter.com. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers. That's how you can contact us with your questions, concerns, or comments. We will do our best to answer those throughout the show. Speaking of the show, some of our normal cast and crew, you'll hear from Mark Boyle, Nate McMillan, of course, Eddie White goes around the house, Jeremiah Johnson, Mark Monteith. They're all live around the house with Eddie White this week. I think our top guest this year has been Santa Claus. We might top it this week. We might be able to top Santa Claus. We will let you know who Eddie has tracked down coming up a little bit later in the show. Again, the Indiana Pacers and Miami Heat's the next game coming up. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there. Coming up, we will talk to the head coach, hear from Mark Boyle and Nate McMillan coming up next on Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Through its local associates, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hi, Pacer fans. This is Miles Turner. We're proud that Bankers Life is the official insurance partner of the Indiana Pacers. Every year, Bankers Life works with thousands of Indiana families like yours, offering insurance and retirement solutions that meet your needs today and for the life of your retirement. With offices across Indiana, Bankers Life has an insurance agent in your community. Learn more at bankerslife.com.
Bankers Life is the marketing brand of Bankers Life and Casualty Company. Select policies sold by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and Bankers Conseco Life Insurance Company, which is authorized to sell insurance in New York.
You're listening to Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM and 1070 The Fan. We're live in downtown Indianapolis on The Circle, as always, talking Pacers basketball with you from 10 to 11 during the season here on 93.5 FM and 1070 The Fan. As always, as a part of this segment, Pacers radio play-by-play voice Mark Boyle sits down with the head coach. Here's Mark's conversation with Nate McMillan.
Thank you, Pat. You've got about a month left in the season, Nate, and other than the obvious, which is solidifying your playoff position or perhaps even improving it, are there aspects of the game that you're concerned about and will address more than others going down the stretch?
Yeah, well, you know, we've been talking about execution, and, you know, the game is going to slow down. It's starting to slow down now, but as you get, you go into the playoffs and you're playing these, you're playing for playoff position, every possession will count. You have to value every possession, and you have to execute on every possession on both ends of the floor. So, you know, we're talking to our team about screening, the usage of screening, understanding spacing, and really valuing every possession on both ends of the floor, because you're gonna have less possessions as you meet these better teams and as you get into the playoffs, and you have to value those possessions.
One of the areas that has been troublesome has been the rebounding, but lately much better, even it could be argued, dramatic improvement. How come?
Well, I think most of it is, making the effort and really recognizing that we do need help down there, boxing out, smashing, everybody recovering to the boards. We've lost some games due to giving up, offensive rebounds, and we're starting to see our guys really focus on going down there and helping and giving up their body for that. That's a key every single night, win the hustle game. The loose balls, the rebounding. We feel like if you can control the boards, you're going to give yourself a chance to win. So it's been an emphasis all season long. We knew that that would be a challenge for us. But we're starting to see guys consistently do a better job of going down there and helping.
Thaddeus Young is back, but it's obvious that he's a little bit compromised because of the left wrist. From a coaching standpoint, is it at all difficult to find the balance between realizing you need him and getting him out there and understanding how to deal with whatever those physical limitations are?
It really is. But for us, he's been like the glue for us all season long. And we're watching him closely, far as what he's doing out there and what he is able to give us, because he is limited far as shooting the ball from the perimeter. But what he can do is, defensively, cover the assignments. He's rebounding. He's running in transition. He's doing a lot of other things that he's been doing all season long. The only challenge for Thaddeus is the perimeter shot, maybe 15 feet and further out. That he's struggling with. But in the paint, he's still able to post up and give us scoring. But we need his IQ on the floor, and it has helped us, since his return. So, yes, we are watching him closely, and if we see that he's really struggling, we try to go with a substitute.
Rotations seem pretty well set, but you have tinkered a little bit. For example, the other night in Charlotte, you gave Aaron Brooks some minutes rather than Rodney Stuckey. On occasion, Rakeem Christmas is in there instead of Al Jefferson, and so on and so forth. Will you continue to do that, or is it important as you head for the playoffs to get those rotations a little bit more solidified?
You always want to try and get rotations set where guys know where they're coming in, when they're coming in, and who they're coming in for, and who they will be playing with. But due to so many injuries for us this season, we've had to put some other guys out there to play, and they've given us some good minutes. So what I've done here in the last week or so is just try to take advantage of what guys have given us. Al went down with a toothache, and Rakeem stepped in. I like the movement that we got from him. I like the length at the basket defensively. We were rebounding and defending a little better with him in that rotation. We had a lot of ball movement in that rotation. So we played him a few minutes. And there are some times where I think we can use that and take advantage of that. Same with Aaron Brooks. We got off to a slow start in Charlotte, and I felt like we needed a spark. So I went with Rakeem and Aaron Brooks. They gave us a lift coming off the bench. When all of our guys are healthy, because they have played, we try to put them in a situation, if we feel that they can help us, put them in the game and see what they can do.
I would like to close, Nate, with this. We haven't talked much, if at all, this season about Monte Ellis, and his role has changed over the years. He was a volume scorer, a very explosive player earlier in his career. And as he's gotten older, his game has changed a little bit. You're using him off the bench. He's a little bit more of a facilitator than he was earlier in his career. Over the last month or so, he looks from way up where we are to be a little bit rejuvenated. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, well, he started off the season in the starting lineup, and it wasn't enough. You only have one basketball, and he wasn't really involved enough with that first unit. Our second unit was struggling to get some type of momentum going. So I wanted to get him to the bench and see if we can balance our rotation and get, we had that first unit with Paul, Jeff, and Miles really attacking, getting a lot of touches. I wanted to add something to that second unit. We just had Al, who we were going to most of the time in that second unit. Talked to Monte about that. He's done a really good job of coming off the bench and giving us a spark. And we've kind of balanced our rotation now. And, you know, he's a guy that we still look to finish with, even though he's not starting. So it has changed over the last couple years. But I think this is working out for us.
Pacers coach Nate McMillan, kind enough to spend some time with us, as he does on a regular basis here on Saturday morning. The Pacers getting set to take on the Miami Heat tomorrow night. It's another decade night. The teams of the 2000s will be recognized, and we hope that you can join us for that. We tip at 6. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's go back to Pat Boylan.
All right, Mark and Nate, as always, thank you. Coming up, we're going to move around the house up a little bit. Eddie White will be joining us next. He goes around the house, as always, to find somebody around Bankers Life Fieldhouse who has an interesting story to tell. And this week, it's one of Eddie's best of the year, perhaps his best of the year. We'll tell you who coming up next. This is Pacers Weekly.
It takes years of hard work, dedication, and practice to make it to the NBA. But did you know that over 30% of NBA players have experience playing or started their careers in the NBA D League? Just like the players with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. Now's your chance to see these professional players as they begin their journey toward the NBA. And you don't have to go to Fort Wayne to see them play. Catch all the Fort Wayne Mad Ants games live on Facebook Live. For a schedule of games or more information on Facebook Live, visit FortWayneMadAnts.com.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is Aaron Brooks. We are proud that the Bankers Life is the official insurance partner of the Indiana Pacers. Every year, Bankers Life works with thousands of Indiana families like yours, offering insurance and retirement solutions that meet your needs today and for the life of your retirement. With offices across Indiana, Bankers Life has an insurance agent in your community. Learn more at bankerslife.com.
Bankers Life is the marketing brand of Bankers Life and Casualty Company. Select policies sold by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and Bankers Conseco Life Insurance Company, which is authorized to sell insurance in New York.
You're listening to Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. As always, taking your telephone calls and Twitter questions. 317-239-1070 is the number to call in and talk Pacers basketball with us. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. Okay, so Eddie White always goes around the house. He finds somebody around Bankers Life Fieldhouse, whether it's a guest, whether it's a full-time worker, who you might not know their story. Perhaps sometimes you do. This is a case of you probably know, at least at some level, of this person's story. It's become a lot more prominent here within the last handful of days. Darnell Hillman, former Pacers ABA and NBA great, was the first ever dunk contest winner. Back in 1977, he won the first ever dunk contest. Then it was very different. It was before games. It was not its own event during All-Star weekend. And it didn't come with a trophy, so the Pacers corrected that error 40 years later. The NBA didn't give him a trophy, so the Pacers went out and got him a trophy. It was a really cool event if you didn't see it. Pacers.com has some of that coverage when he got that trophy. It was alongside Fred Jones and Glenn Robinson III, Glenn Robinson being honored for his most recent dunk contest win, along with Fred Jones, who won back in the 2000s decade. And Darnell Hillman now given a trophy to match his win. That is who Eddie White is with around the house. Eddie?
Thanks, Pat. It is once again time to go around the house. And I'm telling you, one of the most special nights we had the other night, we honored our great slam dunk champion, Glenn Robinson III. We brought back Freddie Jones. He won the championship back in the day. And then there was a special moment when this guy was surprised with a trophy that is 40 years long in waiting to get. He was the original slam dunk champion, and he's our buddy, the doctor, Dr. Dunk, Darnell Hillman. Darnell, how are you?
I'm good, and you, Eddie? How are you?
It's always good to see you. I see you every day at the building, but it was the other night. Let's talk about this. You were surprised. I mean, it was all honoring Glenn, and they wanted to bring the three slam dunk champions that were with the Pacers, and tell us about this when they surprised you with the trophy from 40 years ago. I was like about 20 feet from you. You were shocked.
I was very moved and very surprised by it. I really should set this up for you, though, Eddie. We had a meeting the week before and figuring out how we were going to make this presentation to Glenn, and I was going to be a part of it. In the meeting was Bill Benner and David Benner and myself, and David let out about me getting a trophy. Bill's expression on his face told me that if he could reach across the table, he'd grab him by his throat and punch his lights out. But they covered it up very well in the meeting. So the night of the presentation, as I'm out there on the floor, I'm trying to hand Glenn his second trophy. They awarded him a belt for winning the slam dunk championship. But I noticed Glenn looked behind me, and I saw the shadow disappear to my left. So when I spun back around to the right, I saw the pacemate with the trophy in her hand. In my mind, I'm going, Fred is holding his. I've just presented Glenn his. What the heck is this thing here going on? And then it dawned on me, and I heard my name over the loudspeaker, and it was announced about me getting the trophy. So deeply touched and very, very well appreciated.
Well, to everybody in this building that knows you and loves you, we were touched because we were so happy for you to get it. Now, tell the reason I want to get you on this week, I got, you know, so many people sent me texts and called and said, hey, what's the deal? Because it was like the first slam dunk championship, but it's not recognized by the NBA. And when you get into this thing, I think people are going to realize you probably won the hardest slam dunk championship in the history of the NBA. What was that slam dunk tournament like back in the day?
Well, actually, it was each team was supposed to have an internal dunk-off to see who was going to represent each team. And then the winner of that would go against all the other teams. So each time that I was asked to go in and dunk off, I was representing the Indiana Pacers and my teammates here. Each time I went through a round and advanced to the next round, all of my teammates earned $300 each.
Now, these rounds weren't all in one day. This wasn't like the dunk contest is now where all those guys do it in one night. You were doing this throughout the season, correct?
That's correct. We were going all season long from the moment the season began until the end of the season for the championship. So this went on all year long, and each round that I went through, my teammates earned $300. I wasn't getting anything. About mid-season that year, I was traded to the Nets. And going to the Nets, their player had been knocked out. The Nets thinking, I'm coming there, I'm going to represent them. Well, the league straightened everyone out and saying, no, the team that you started with, that's the team that you will represent throughout the entire event until you're knocked out of the event.
So those Nets players were hoping you'd be keep winning and they'd get some money, but in reality, no, you're going to keep winning even though you're representing the Nets, but the Pacers guys were getting the money. And then when you did these, were these done like before a game, if you were in Milwaukee or something? When did you do the actual competition?
These were done during off time. Sometimes during travel, they'd set it up during the schedule, so they'd make arrangements for a gym someplace or an arena or wherever, and we go in and do it during that time. Now, as it got closer toward the end, like the semifinals was in Milwaukee during the All-Star game, and I competed against Kareem, and I beat Kareem.
And you're wearing Nets stuff?
No, I'm wearing my stuff.
Because you were with the Nets, but you were really representing the Pacers.
The Pacers.
And you couldn't wear the Pacers because you were playing for the Nets. Oh, my God.
So I had a shoe contract with Adidas at that time, and they made up these uniforms for me to wear. So I could wear the uniform or wear what I wanted to wear. And in doing so, we had a, during the summer, we had a company here in town that would say over on 42nd and College, I believe, called The Bottle Shop. And they were our sponsors for our softball team during the summer. So the owner of that finding out I was in that, he asked me if I'd wear the shirt. And I said, hey, not a problem. So I wore his shirt throughout that.
So when you beat Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you were wearing a T-shirt that said The Bottle Shop in Indianapolis, Indiana.
No, we were up in Milwaukee.
No, the T-shirt was Bottle Shop. You
Bottle
gotta
Shop
be kidding me.
In Indianapolis, Indiana. And I did that also at the championship.
So you beat Kareem in the semis?
Beat Kareem in the semis, and I went against Larry McNeil for the finals.
Yeah.
And beat him out. Yeah, and beat him out in Portland. Portland playing against Philly at that time.
Okay.
And their championship game, and Larry and I went out at halftime, and we had the dunk competition.
So the Pacers players each got $300 for every time you won.
They
so
owe
when
me.
You got to the end, what'd you get? You won the thing. You did all the work.
I got $15,000 check.
Okay, so they took care of
you. But all my teammates had earned $1,500
For
round.
Doing nothing.
So just being my teammate. So it worked out real well for
me. That is unbelievable. So even in the championship match, or when you went up against Larry, you wore the T-shirt.
The Bottle Shop, yes.
The Bottle Shop T-shirt.
Bottle Shop T-shirt, and I still have that shirt today.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, we get it. That's memorabilia, man. That should be some kind of Hall of Fame. I'll be a son of a gun. Well, that is a fantastic story. And then, but the NBA, they didn't recognize that championship because that was more of a sponsor type thing, right?
Correct. And that's what I'm finding out right now is they have not recognized me for winning the first one because there was no major sponsor attached to the event. It was just a CBS event. Now they have a major sponsor with it,
right.
And the sponsors are the one picking up the tabs for all of these different
The check
guys.
Didn't bounce, right?
No, the check
so
didn't bounce.
So that's what counts. Back in those days?
And I got to tell you an interesting story about that. Having won it, I was called into Brent Musburger at a suite there, and he was the MC for the event. He called me into a suite after winning it, and I've got a check for $15,000. He says, Darnell, would you go one-on-one against Julius Erving to see who the best is. Excuse me, Brent, but I just won the thing, so I'm the best this year. Julius was in. His agent pulled him out because they demanded Julius be paid up front. CBS said no, left him out. They thought the public demand would get Julius back involved in it, and it never happened. So Julius was out. Their favorites at that time were David Thompson, George Gervin, Daryl Dawkins, and the list just goes on.
Yeah.
So I was really, way down low in being considered for it. So Brent, again, wanted me to go one-on-one against Julius to see who the best was, and I kept saying, Brent, I won the thing. That makes me the best.
Yeah.
What's in it for me? Why am I risking this? Yeah. Well, why don't you put your check up for 15 to see who the best is? Again, Brent.
Yeah.
I'm the winner.
Exactly.
Why am I risking everything for your gratification and satisfaction? So Brent goes, Darnell, I will contact CBS, see if they will put up $10,000 if you will hold on to that $15,000 check. You put that check along with $10,000, would you go one-on-one against Julius? And I looked at him and I said, you've got my home phone number. You've got my home address. I'll give you 2 weeks. If I haven't heard from you, I'm negotiating my check. 2 weeks went by. Me and my wife went to Aruba or somewhere. We went on vacation.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
That's how
my friend, I can't tell you how much this whole building collectively felt really good in their heart when they saw you get recognized the other night. You're a special person, a special friend, and you're a special member of this Pacers family. And it was really good to see you get out there and be recognized, and we loved it.
I thank you so much, man, and I'm deeply appreciative for having received the award, too.
Patrick, he's the doctor, and we are glad he's in our house. Back to you, Patrick.
All right, fantastic work, Eddie White and Darnell Hillman tracking down. Dr. Dunk was Eddie White, and he got honored with that trophy, something that was overdue from the NBA. The Pacers, hats off to them for correcting that error and surprising Darnell Hillman with a trophy. By the way, another kind of interesting tie that they have together. Glenn Robinson III winning the dunk contest back about a month ago over All-Star Weekend. He wins the dunk contest, his first dunk. He jumped over a guy on somebody's shoulders. You probably didn't know who those people were. The guy on the top of that person's shoulders was Glenn Robinson III's cousin, who works under Darnell in community relations. He's an intern under Darnell. So somebody that helped Glenn Robinson III win his current dunk contest is Glenn's cousin, who works under Darnell. So it's funny how things can come full circle. We've got a lot coming up still for you here on Pacers Weekly. We've heard from Mark Boyle once. That's not enough, though. We'll hear from him again. It's 2000s decade coming up on Sunday. So he chats with 2000s player Austin Crozier. Their conversation coming up next on Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
NBA League Pass. Let's go! Your courtside seats in the action from around the league.
Curry deep three. Good!
See it happen live. Catch the games on your TV and computer. Stream them on your devices with the new NBA app. Watch live games from wherever you are.
Oh, you don't like that. You don't like NBA basketball.
Every NBA night is a can't-miss night. To order NBA League Pass, go to nba.com/leaguepass. Call 855-NBA-LPLP or contact your TV service provider.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
The Harlem Globetrotters will dribble into Bankers Life Fieldhouse with their action-packed world tour on Saturday, January 14th at noon. Witness amazing Globetrotter moments that will become unforgettable Globetrotter memories. Feel the dunks. See the ball handling. Experience the antics that will have kids of all ages laughing the entire time. Don't miss the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters on Saturday, January 14th at noon. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com.
You're listening to Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. It's 2000s decade night on Sunday. The Pacers host the Miami Heat, also an important game for playoff positioning. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there. A 2000s player that has stayed in touch with the Pacers organization because he still works for them is Austin Crozier. He's on the radio broadcast for a select number of games on the road throughout the season. You've heard him and seen him on TV as well throughout his stretch post-playing career. It's Austin Crozier, and Austin sits down with Mark Boyle. Mark?
Thank you, Pat. Over the course of the season, the Pacers have periodically honored teams throughout the course of their history with decade nights, and the next one is coming up on Sunday. Miami is in town. It's a chance for the Pacers to recognize and acknowledge the accomplishments of their teams from the 2000s. And one of the players that will be in town and was an instrumental part of that period in Pacer history is Austin Crozier, who came to the Pacers in the late 90s and stayed for quite some time. Let's talk about your run with the Pacers and what you remember specifically, Austin, about the O's. We can get into some of the nuances of it in a bit, but if somebody says, hey, Austin, your time with the Pacers, 2000, first thing that comes to mind.
Well, the NBA Finals took place in June of 2000, so that's obviously that was the highlight of my career, and a lot of people will associate that with the 90s as opposed to the 2000s, but certainly that was the run. From that point on, we were kind of a team in flux. You know, Rick Smith decided to retire. He didn't bring Mark Jackson back. We got a lot younger. Al Harrington, Jonathan Bender, Jeff Foster. You trade for Jermaine O'Neal. You trade for Brad Miller. You trade for Ron Artest. And we just had an abundance of young talent and raw talent that didn't have a lot of experience. And under Isaiah for 3 years, we just all kind of gained experience and opportunity. And you know, we lost in the first round of the playoffs each year, but I thought that group as individuals and as a team got better up until Rick Carlisle came in and took over in his first year.
Well, let's talk about that, because even after the period you mentioned where Rick retired and Mark went to Toronto and some other things happened, including the coaching change with Isaiah replacing Larry, those weren't bad times. They were still competitive teams. And then Carlisle comes, the team breaks through, a fantastic season, 61 wins, and a berth in the conference finals. And then next year, I still think the Pacers had the best team in the NBA. And then the brawl not only ruined that season, but impacted several seasons thereafter. When you look back on that, do you ever spend any time wondering what might have been?
I do, Mark. And it's honestly very difficult for me to talk about. And I usually decline talking about it whenever someone asks. As I mentioned, the high point of my career was the NBA Finals. Well, the low point of my career was the brawl. And not surprising that it's something I wouldn't want to talk about. But you're right. I did feel like we were better than Detroit that year, even though they had won the championship the year before. I felt like we had a number of guys in their prime. Jermaine O'Neal had become an MVP caliber player. Ron Artest was arguably the best defensive player in the year. We had a lot of young athletes. And it just ended up being a complete waste. You know, you don't have windows of opportunities to win championships very often. And Reggie Miller built this window in the 90s, and it was Eastern Conference Finals, a step back. You got back to that point, and you made it to the finals. And we were very fortunate to only have a three-year dip in which we didn't really have a realistic chance. And then here we were, we had this opportunity, and we just blew it. And it resulted in a five-year downturn for the franchise of the organization, and it was very difficult to be a part of.
Taking a bigger look at your own career, though, you had that one run that got you to the finals, the loss to the Lakers, then the 61-win team that we just mentioned. Then you go to Dallas, where you had the best record in the league. I think you won, was it 67?
Yeah.
So you came close to three championships. How frustrating was that?
Yeah, and like I said, you don't get those opportunities very often, and you don't want to squander them when you have those opportunities. And I don't think anyone really understood that at the time. But when you ask me, do I think about it, you know, I think when you're done playing and you look back, unfortunately, you think more about the what ifs than the successes. And for me, there were several teams that were close and had realistic opportunities. And the way that that happened was just... it's hard to go back and think about.
I want to close with this because you've shared this with me in private conversation, and I found it very interesting. I wanted to see if you could articulate it for our listeners. You spent the first several years of your career with the Pacers, and then you went with the Mavericks and the Warriors, a brief period of time with the Bucks and the Spurs. And this was not a negative comment, or at least I didn't take it that way, on those organizations. But you didn't really understand how well-run, how special the Pacers organization was until you sampled what else was around the league. Can you help our listeners understand what you're talking about?
Well, I think, you know, other teams, you know, they spend money and they try and on the surface, you know, appear as though they care about the players. But the reality is that very few teams are ran like, kind of like family businesses, and they really care about the players and the individuals. And that was the sense that I had in my 9 years playing for Indiana, whereas in other cities, you felt like maybe you were a little bit more of a commodity, or you weren't a part of the fabric that the team was trying to create. And I think that most players that leave and play somewhere else feel the same way. It's a special team. It's a special city, and they do things the right way. And it was a group that I was proud to be a part of for 9 years.
That's Austin Crozier. He will be part of Decade Night tomorrow. Miami is in. The Pacers will honor and acknowledge the accomplishments of their teams from the current or most recent decade of Pacer history. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's turn things back over to Pat Boylan.
All right, Mark and Austin, thank you. You hear Austin on select road broadcasts throughout the season. Right here, 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan, across the Bankers Life Radio Network. And Austin will be in attendance for the 2000s game tomorrow night, 6 o'clock against the Miami Heat. A quick look at the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, the Pacers D-League affiliate, falling to Santa Cruz on Friday, 144-123. They most recently on Wednesday had a win against Salt Lake, 116-105. And today they play in Los Angeles. It's a 9:30 tip against the Defenders, the Los Angeles D-League team in El Segundo, California. Those games, all of them, are broadcast on Facebook Live. Tyler Hansborough, a member of the Mad Ants now. The Pacers periodically send some of their players up and down to the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. And you can catch all of those by following either the D-League or the Mad Ants on Facebook and then watching their games on Facebook Live. Again, the Mad Ants play tonight at 9:30 Eastern. Well, we're talking 2000s decades. One of the best people to talk about it is Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith. He'll sum up that and the Pacers' recent play coming up next. This is Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Stevie Nicks, the 24-karat gold tour, live in Indianapolis. With the Pretenders.
Now we're back on the train. Yeah. Back on the chain, yeah.
Together at Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
And it rings like a bell through the night. Would you love to love her?
March 29th. Night only. Two rock icons, Stevie Nicks with the Pretenders. Reserve seats on sale now at Bankers Life Fieldhouse box office, LiveNation.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. Now together at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Don't miss Stevie Nicks with the Pretenders.
Thank you.
This is Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. With us now is Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith. Indiana, Mark, of course, in Milwaukee. That game was last night, the Pacers falling to the Bucks. Seemed to me a bit of a struggle to find a second-half rhythm. Did you see it that way?
Yeah, you know, Milwaukee made some defensive changes, started double-teaming, and the Pacers just kind of got lost in that. You know, they only scored 35 points in that second half after scoring 27 in the first quarter alone. You know, you and I talked before the game last night about the ball movement in that win over Detroit, and it was excellent in that game, and it was still really good in that first quarter against Milwaukee. It was really encouraging. And then, for whatever reason, they really didn't adjust to Milwaukee's change in defensive strategy, and they just didn't get good shots. They turned the ball over, were fighting the shot clock, and it just became a struggle. So they'll need to figure out, you know, I guess how to make in-game adjustments or whatever continue to get good shots because they have a tendency to become stagnant, and that happened again last night.
Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith is with us live. We'll be talking about the 2000s decade with you coming up in just a little bit. The Pacers rebounded well, though. That's been a theme post-All-Star break. They have rebounded well. Typically, when they rebound well, they play well. That wasn't the case necessarily in the second half, so a little bit odd in that regard. But overall, from a big-picture standpoint, post-All-Star break, rebounding has to be a major positive.
Yeah, no question. And you can't win consistently without rebounding well. So they have done that since the All-Star break. And a lot of reasons for that. And, you know, one of them is that their defense on the perimeter has been a little better. They're, you know, not last night again so much. But when you keep the other team from attacking the basket, getting into the lane, you know, your big men don't have to give help as often. And therefore, they are in position to rebound or block out more. So there's a lot of things that go into rebounding: raw effort, defensive performance, your guards getting into the lane and getting long rebounds instead of just ball watching. So They have done better in that regard, and usually when they do better, it pays off. It just didn't last night.
Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith is with us. Thaddeus Young played 19 minutes, scored 10 points, 3 rebounds, 3 steals. Overall, a decent game for Thad. He's, of course, been struggling with this wrist issue and struggling to shoot. For example, he's not made a free throw since coming back. He's 0-for-7 from the foul line since coming back from that wrist injury. He's finding ways to still be effective, though. How do you balance playing him enough, because he is kind of a glue guy, but it's tough when the guy that you brought in to be a stretch player can't stretch the floor as much as he used to be able to?
Right, that is tough. You have to adjust the offense. And as you mentioned, you know, he did hit a mid-range jumper last night, and that surprised me, because how does he think he'd even want to try one? You know, that wrist is still swollen somewhat and sore. Yeah, it's in his head, no doubt. You know, the free throw you mentioned last night was an air ball, so he's 0-for-7. He hasn't even attempted a three-point shot. I don't even know if he could get it to the basket, but he does so many other things that it's usually worth having him on the court. He, like you said, can't stretch the floor on offense, but he's a guy who can go out on the perimeter on defense. But he's got enough length he can guard around the basket, too. And particularly in that game against Detroit, you know, he moves so well without the ball. You know, he has to find seams in the defense to get openings, to get open to the basket and get layups from people. And that's usually a good thing for the offense. You know, he's not standing around there hoping for somebody to kick out a pass to him for a mid-range or a three-point shot. He's running around trying to find a crack to get to the basket and get a layup. And he doesn't even hit all his layups, but he certainly hits enough to make it worthwhile. That 18-point game against Detroit was really outstanding, I thought, the way he did that. So I think you want him out there. He has to continue to play that way. hope he doesn't get fouled too much. You're going to give some things by having him in there, but I think you're going to gain more by having him out there. So I think he's certainly more trouble than he's worth right now.
Pacers.
I'm sorry, the opposite of that. He is worth whatever trouble there might be.
we got you, Mark. Yeah, that's a very good catch on your part. We'll talk to Mark Monteith. He's going to join us after the break to talk 2000s decade. That's coming up next on Pacers Weekly.
It takes years of hard work, dedication, and practice to make it to the NBA. But did you know that over 30% of NBA players have experience playing or started their careers in the NBA D League? Just like the players with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. Now's your chance to see these professional players as they begin their journey toward the NBA. And you don't have to go to Fort Wayne to see them play. Catch all the Fort Wayne Mad Ants games live on Facebook Live. For a schedule of games or more information on Facebook Live, visit FortWayneMadAnts.com.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Stevie Nicks, the 24 Karat Gold Tour, live in Indianapolis. With the Pretenders.
Now we're back on the train. Back on the chain.
Together at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. March 29th, live for one night only, two rock icons, Stevie Nicks with the Pretenders. Reserve seats on sale now at Bankers Life Fieldhouse box office, LiveNation.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. Now together at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Don't miss Stevie Nicks with the Pretenders.
Thank you.
This is Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan, with you for 10 more minutes or so. Jeremiah Johnson will join us in a moment. With us now, Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith again to talk 2000s decade. Mark, you sum up the decade. It starts with Jermaine O'Neal. It ends with Danny Granger kind of building toward those 2010 runs.
Yeah, you know, really an intriguing and dramatic decade. So many things happened, and most of them good. We know what happened that Austin and Mark Boyle were just talking about up in Detroit, but still, there were so many exciting moments in that decade. He had three guys in that decade be voted most improved player. I wonder if any franchise has ever had three guys in one decade win that award. Jalen won it in 2000. Jermaine O'Neal won it. Danny Granger won it later on. You know, you had a lot of All-Stars. You had two different coaches coach in the All-Star game, Isaiah Thomas and Rick Carlisle. You had Jermaine O'Neal third in the MVP voting in 2004. Ron Artest was Defensive Player of the Year that year. Fred Jones won the slam dunk that year. A lot of people forget Al Harrington was runner-up for Sixth Man of the Year that year, had an outstanding year, averaged about 13 points off the bench. Jermaine O'Neal was selected to six All-Star teams. He was only able to play in five, but he was selected to six. And you still had a lot of Reggie Miller moments. You know, we talk about the 90s as all the for all the things Reggie Miller did that decade, particularly in Madison Square Garden. But you know, in the 2000s, of course, you had that run to the 2000 finals. So technically he had great moments in the playoffs in 2000. But even later than that, you know, I remember game one, when they were an eighth seed, they upset Philadelphia in game one in Philly, and Reggie hit the game-winning shot coming off a pick by Austin Crozier. The next year, he had that game five in New Jersey, that double overtime game, when he banked in that 40-footer and then had that dunk to force a second overtime. And then sad memory, or negative memory, 2004, he had that layup block by Tayshaun Prince. Was really Prince's block is one of the greatest plays I've ever seen that might have kept the Pacers from getting to the finals. But, you know, it was unbelievable for me covering the team to see the dedication Reggie Miller had that allowed him to be a really good player all the way through the age of 39. And I saw what he did before games. I saw what he did while he was injured that last year when he had broken his hand or his thumb or something and sat out some games. To what he did to stay in shape was just remarkable to me. So still, even that was a Reggie Miller decade, even though there were so many other great young players coming up at the time. So, of course, he had Reggie Miller's retirement in 2005, and his jersey was retired the next year. So a lot of things happened in that first decade of the millennium. And, you know, the franchise still, you know, feels the effects of those in good and bad ways.
Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith is with us. Mark, unfortunately, we have to be brief here. We got to get to Jeremiah Johnson. I want to close quickly, though, if you can sum up your story recently posted on Pacers.com on Ron Artest.
Yeah, well, you know, Ron obviously was the focus of a lot of drama in that decade, but it's interesting that all these years later, number one, he's still playing, which I'm sure surprises a lot of people. I mean, the reason he's on the Laker roster is that he's a role model, a mentor, basically. And Ron loves the game, and he's grown a lot since his time here. Donnie Walsh and Larry Bird still have a lot of strong feelings for him, and it was just interesting to see him here earlier this year, seek them out and talk with them. So, you know, Ron is, you know, he's a lightning rod, but he's an interesting guy and a good-hearted guy, and you won't find anybody who really knows him who doesn't like him.
You want to hear more with Mark Monteith? Please tune in to our Pacers pregame show, the Kroger pregame show, which will come up at 5:30. That's tomorrow night. You can hear it right here where you're listening to this in Indianapolis. Mark, thanks for your time here this morning.
Okay, thank you, Pat.
We'll close out the show. Jeremiah Johnson is next on Pacers Weekly.
Catch summer fever with your Indiana Fever. In May, the Indiana Fever will begin their 18th season in the WNBA. They would like to include you on their roster. Buy a Fan's Choice 5-game pack for just $105. You choose the games based on your schedule and get access to special events to meet your favorite Fever players. The fun begins in May. Call today and get your Fever Fan's Choice 5-game pack. Call 317-917-2528.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
It's a sold-out crowd here, folks. This game could be an NBA classic. These two teams.
The Andersons got tickets to the game? How'd they get tickets?
Did you try NBATickets.com?
But the game is sold out.
The games are never sold out at NBATickets.com.
Never?
Yep, and they're never fake.
Your dad's a genius. Grab the keys. We're going to the game.
Always available, always 100% authentic. NBATickets.com, the official ticket marketplace of the NBA.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is LaVoy Allen. We're proud that Bankers Life is the official insurance partner of the Indiana Pacers. Every year, Bankers Life works with thousands of Indiana families like yours, offering insurance and retirement solutions that meet your needs today and for the life of your retirement. With offices across Indiana, Bankers Life has an insurance agent in your community. Learn more at bankerslife.com.
Bankers Life is the marketing brand of Bankers Life and Casualty Company. Select policies sold by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and Bankers Conseco Life Insurance Company, which is authorized to sell insurance in New York.
You're listening to Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. With us now, referee and Pacers TV host and sideline reporter Jeremiah Johnson. We've done a lot of looking back. I want to look just at the opponent next coming up, the Miami Heat. Jeremiah Johnson is with us. Jeremiah, the Heat come into this building on Sunday as hot as any team in the NBA, a team the Pacers have seen recently.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Miami is a team that I don't think anybody in the Eastern Conference would want to play in the playoffs. And I think right now, after seeing what I saw from Milwaukee last night and from Miami, what I saw from them a couple of weeks ago, it seems like they're two teams that are really fighting to get in, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're in and maybe the Pistons and the Bulls get out. So Miami's a tough team. The good news is it'll be at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. The last four times the Pacers and Heat have played, it's been in Miami.
And they get no help from the schedule. They play at 8 o'clock the night before and then Sunday, the very next day at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, so they'll be on a back-to-back. Your show will come up starting at 5:30, a little bit of an early start time, so fans make sure to note that. A show, I'm sure, that's loaded with 2000s content.
Yeah, we're looking forward to this decade night. Of course, Eddie Gill, our analyst on Pacers Live pregame, is a member of the 2000 Pacers, so he's an alum and he's also our analyst. We'll have Al Harrington join Eddie Gill and myself in the Fox Loft, also talking throughout the night with Austin Crozier and Jeff Foster and Jermaine O'Neal. It should be a fantastic night on Fox Sports Indiana.
All right, you can catch Jeremiah Johnson 5:30 on Fox Sports Indiana. He's subbing in as a first-grade referee. Hey, let him play. Not too many foul calls. Okay,
okay. I'm not going to argue with the refs today.
It's Jeremiah Johnson. Thanks to him for joining us here this morning. That'll wrap it up for Pacers Weekly. You can also catch the Kroger pregame show as well. It starts at 5:30 on Sunday right here where you're listening to Pacers Weekly in Indiana. That'll do it for Pacers Weekly. Thanks to our producer, Jason Newhouse. Scott Long is next. We'll talk to you next week at 10 a.m.
It whistled. Pound it! Pound it! A three off of contact on top.
And George takes the pass from Stuckey and dunks it.
Tapped up and in as the Pacer bench clears.
You've been listening to Pacers Weekly.